Welcome back. This is Ted Williams, your friend with the golden voice. It's 80 degrees right now on this beautiful afternoon, but boy, the temperature keeps rising coming out of the Blue Note Jazz Festival right here in Napa, California. And speaking of temperatures, you better get some ice ready because things are about to get hot out here. It's time right now for our hourly ticket giveaway. You've been calling and we've been bawling. So the fifth person to call the station right now is going to win tickets to the sold-out festival tonight. All right, here we go.
Hello?
Hey there, what's your name?
I'm Diana.
Well, Diana, I'm happy to tell you that you are the fifth caller. And you're going to the sold-out Blue Note Jazz Festival tonight.
Oh, my God! I love you.
Okay, and I love you too.
Thank you so much, Ted. Oh my God, thank you.
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna get so much pussy.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Let's catch
Ford truck.
That's entertainment, nigga. Let's go.
God, entertainment. I hate entertainment.
That's very entertaining.
That's entertainment. We be doing that.
You know what? I think that we come from the last era of great American entertainment. I think that Thriller, like, broke the game for what entertainment was. It was it. That piece of work in particular, because it was everything that's like, that's entertainment. Had all of that, right?
Right.
But it had everything that constitutes great art. Like, when you listen to, I mean, Human Nature is like, by any standard, just the last 8 bars of Human Nature by itself are like a marvel.
Play the last 8 bars of Human Nature. Cue it up.
I want to shout out DJ Fuse from the legendary Digital Underground from the Bay Area.
That's right. Make some noise for DJ Fuse. Oakland's finest. If you don't know, he DJ Digital Underground, you know, Shock G, Tupac, you've heard of that band.
Shout out to Conway the Machine, who was at the show last
night. Conway the Machine was there.
We had an excellent conversation about this viral moment that he started.
Man, listen to Earl Sweatshirt. He's amazing. Strong spirit where the body couldn't get asylum. The cost of living high, don't cross the picket line and get the virus.
Strong spirit where the body couldn't get asylum. The cost of living high, don't cross the picket line and get the virus.
That's the first 2 bars.
Did you see Tyler, the Creator's interview with Funk Master Flex?
No.
Oh, that's a doozy. Oh, you gotta watch that.
Well, what did he say?
Oh, you gotta watch that.
No, wait a minute, what did he say?
Because Flex is perplexed at how Tyler was beating Khaled on the charts.
Yuck. I'm so sick of these rating systems.
Yes.
That these people who are anti anything that doesn't end with, you know, as Paul Giamatti's character said in 12 Years a Slave, my sentiments extend the length of a coin. That's a very cold shot and it's very true. And people who feel that way and measure success by that metric, I'm not gonna lose any time hearing anything that they have to say about art or being confused about why this thing is connecting and this other thing is connected.
But that's why I think the interview is good, because I think Tyler, who I'm not even, I'll be fully honest, I'm not even as familiar with his music as you might be.
I'm a fan.
The way that he answered this question speaks to a lot of the things that you've been speaking.
Well, let me tell you something. There are three individuals. They're all born. One of them is born in the early 90s, and two of them were born in the late 80s. And these three individuals are the reason that, in my opinion, a company like Spotify or others are doing so well today, and that the record industry is actually been buoyed up by their work. One of them is Kendrick Lamar. Another one is Tyler, the Creator. And another one is Aubrey Graham, right?
That's Drake.
Right. That's his Jewish name.
Why do you say Aubrey Graham? That's fucked up, calling niggas by their government. You can't do that to nobody but Keith Murray.
But Keith Murray.
Right.
No, but Drake, the
artist. Y'all seem about to be like, that was Kendrick Duckworth.
Right. Was, yeah. Right. Kendrick Duckworth, Tyler Oklahoma. Right.
He's the kind of person called Chuck E. Cheese, Charles Edward Cheese. I don't know if you know him. The other one is Charles Edward Cheese. I thought I would get a bigger reaction from you on that one, Amir. Chuck E. Cheese, now this I know.
Yeah, I don't fuck with Chuck E. Cheese.
The thing that the three of them have in common is that they were all independent artists doing extraordinarily well on their own outside of the label system. They did not, in my estimation, and I'm saying this as an independent artist, I've been an independent artist almost the length of my career, they did not need record deal. The labels needed them. So the fact that somebody is asking, well, how were you outperforming Khaled on the charts? First of all, what Tyler, the Creator, was able to do in 2010 when I was there at their first show in New York City, when they were performing downstairs at the basement of Webster Hall, it's packed in there. The oldest person in there is maybe 22, and me.
And you.
Right. Right. And there's a picture of that evening where I'm backstage and Tyler looks confused. He looks like, why is my uncle?
Right.
At this show.
Right.
But he was like, well, how do you know about me? And why are you here? Right?
Now, I bet you if you told him the truth, he'd be shocked. The Village Voice?
I saw the article. I went to the website. I saw what they were doing. I wasn't a fan of all of the content that I saw, but I loved what they were doing and what it represented. It was like going to CBGB's again. It was like seeing a rebirth of punk rock, but on a completely different terms, right? And as a viable business, these young men, they were not New York artists. They were all LA dudes. So it was a cross-country trip, and they came from cross-country in 2010 and sold out a respectable arena in New York. Tyler was maybe, what, 19, 20 years old? 10 years later, he's, you know, I saw him in Europe recently, and he's, I mean, his guy, it's like a production. It's
yeah.
a production.
He's a
it's
whole
like,
festival.
It's a whole thing, right? He's a headliner, everything that he goes to a bar. He had a, you know, a driver. His collection of fragrances is very,
right.
you know.
But he's, no, a, he's a scent guy.
He's a polished guy, you know what I'm saying? He's a successful young man in his space. But he been that. The labels that make him that. Kendrick Lamar, another example. Ignorance is Bliss, it's another 2011.
He said my name on that record.
Drake, when he was...
Who's Drake? Oh, do you mean Aubrey?
I mean Aubrey. So these guys sign these deals, right? And they get an exposure that I think that they already had, right? And it looks like the machine created them or did something for them that they were already doing on their own.
Well, now, wait a minute. To accentuate your point, now I see these two young fellas. How old are you guys? You two. No, right behind you. I'm so sorry, sir, but you look... I thought you was my age, nigga. I'm talking about them two right there. Yeah, no, you little buddy, how old are you? 17. And 16, I want to ask you a question that's adjacent to what he's saying. And be honest. Okay, first of all, do you like hip-hop music? I would assume if you're here, you do. Okay. And how did you first find out about hip-hop music? Who was the one that opened the door for you? For me, it's a fella named Rakim. Eric B. is president. It wasn't the first rap song I ever heard, but it was the first one that I ever felt.
Make him clap to this.
That joint. Now, which one was it for you, little buddy?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Give me an era of when you remember. Like, what was hot when you remember saying, I like this music?
Maybe like early 2010s. Like,
give me one song you like. No pressure, but if you fuck this up, I'm going to hate you forever. I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking.
A song that got us into hip-hop?
Yes.
Rapper's Delight.
Wait.
Wait a minute. How is that possible?
That came out in 1979. What you talking about? It's...
This nigga's like the Indiana Jones of hip-hop fans.
How did you hear Rapper's Delight?
My mother.
Ah, good parenting.
His mom's black.
By the way, this young man is white.
That's good. I'm totally joking. And your mom pushed you on and you loved it.
Yeah. So
all right, so let me say that my son is 20, I don't know, something. He's in his 20s.
He's 26.
26 this year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And he's a good rapper, but when he was 11, 12.
I spoke to your son earlier today. He said you should call him.
So when my son was 11, 12, he was in the Big Daddy Kane and Rakim, right?
Oh, buddy.
But then when he was 15, 16, that's when Kendrick started popping. So I want to know if it's a similar experience for you.
Have you ever gone to a live, what was the first live hip-hop show? If you've ever been to one, what's the first one you went to? I'm just trying to get a sense of what you Whippersnappers is up to.
The first?
Yeah.
Hip-hop?
Yeah, that you saw live.
I don't know the first. That was...
He's been to so many.
He's about that life. This thing's like the first.
The first. Let me
it's
think.
It's like asking about the first bitch I've been with. I'm out on these streets. 16, nigga. How are you 16 and don't remember anything?
I know how. The same question.
Years ago, it must have been 2011, we were in L.A. I don't know if you were there, Quali. You were definitely there. And you could not stop talking about Kendrick Lamar. I had never heard Kendrick's music, anything. You were like, yo, this kid, he's the one. It was the same night that you kept trying to go to MF Doom's house. You ended up going. My brother went with you. I didn't go.
Yeah.
But not long after that conversation, I was at Coachella. Dr. Dre was doing his Muscle Flex set, and Kendrick was on that set. And literally at that time, I was like, oh, it's that guy Mose was talking about. He did the 3W song, Women, Weed, and Weather. The swag was dope. And when I wake up. If you ever see Kendrick live, he's palpably humble.
So he also wears a crown of thorns.
He wears a crown. But I
diamond.
This paradox, it honestly reminds me of you guys. The confidence to be arrogant, but your natural default is humility, but your skill level would make somebody
right,
think
King Kendrick.
You were arrogant. King Kendrick. But if you're that, if you can back the shit up like we be doing.
Dave, you said something to me years ago that was really interesting. You said there was a scenario about someone in basic training in the military.
Oh, I remember exactly. It's a great story.
Right. Somebody's standing in line and holding a tray. The drill sergeant comes and smacks the tray out of someone's hands. And this is unprovoked. There's no reason for that. And they bend down to pick up the tray. So the moment that they bend down to pick up the tray, they've lost all leverage in the game.
Mm. That's right.
So the moment that we get judged by the metric of Billboard or whatever, the Compy Box or whatever all of that is, because it reduces everything down to a cold metric.
It could. Not necessarily, though. Not absolutely.
Well, let's look at this example. Has Bob Marley ever won a Grammy?
No.
Did Tupac ever win a Grammy?
No.
I go on and on and on about great works of art. I watched a documentary recently about Brian Wilson. We made Pet Sounds.
Great documentary.
It was not well reviewed. Right. Neither was Citizen Kane. Neither was Hear My Dear by Marvin Gaye, which is really like...
Trashed.
It's an opera.
That's right.
Okay? You know, time tells a story on all of it. So the way that something performs in the market is not necessarily a true indicator of its lasting value. Not even in the marketplace.
Right. The point is not to work for that type of reinforcement or accolade.
I mean, it's easier said than done because even in myself, I've had those types of ambitions. And gratefully, I couldn't sustain them because it was just like, I don't really care.
But I bet when and if you win a Grammy, I'm sure you'll deserve it. It's not going to be like that Leonardo DiCaprio Oscar, or that's not the one he should have won it for. But it's about time.
After they made
him
wrestle a bear, Jesus Christ.
Right, right. And the bear didn't even get nominated. That was fucked up.
That movie was like, watch the worst things ever happen to someone in the course of 90 minutes without them completely losing their mind.
That's right. You know another movie like that? Precious. Thank you. I'm here all week.
But no, I think that people tell themselves that they don't, that doesn't matter, that they're just doing it for the art, but then some other impulse kicks in and tells them that if I'm not employing that type of ambition, if I'm not employing that type of job, that I'm not showing care for my work and I'm actually holding myself in low esteem. And I think that's the same thing that happens in a lot of American life specifically. It's like, well, if you're not rich or if you're not grinding, you don't have a big enough imagination, you have an energy deficit, and, you know, those things are not necessarily true. And I think that we should be careful as artists and as people as to what criteria are we beholding ourselves to. You know, what are the standards of conduct, the standards of beauty that we apply to how we move through life, and how do they make us look at ourselves in a mirror and affect how we see ourselves, you know? What is our metric for success for us?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Maya Angelou, Dr. Angelou, God rest his soul, had a quote that I always loved. She said, "You'll meet a million people." She said, "Those people might not remember what you look like, what you sound like. They'll always remember how you made them feel." This metric for me is almost singular. When I decide what I want to do or what I don't want to do, there's two things that I think about. What does that feel like? And of course, the greatest cultural impact, right? Like you just rattled off all these amazing cultural moments that were snubbed by these award bestowers. But who the fuck remembers what beat "Hear My Dear" or this, that, or the other at the Grammys particular year? Michael Jackson swept for Thriller. He won every Grammy he was up for except for one, which was Best Song. What beat Thriller for Best Song? Anybody? Does anybody even know?
No.
"Every Breath You Take" by the Police. Take it easy. My point is, what difference does it make? What's right. The best song is a completely subjective metric.
Which is a point that Aubrey Graham made last time he won a Grammy.
What did he say?
Who was Aubrey Graham again? Oh, that's right. That's Drake. How do you decide, like you say, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing? Like, give me a second on this question because I don't even know enough to ask it. But how do you decide what the main thing is?
Well, okay, like Mike Tyson said, if you think that a whole lot of money and prestige is going to change your life, then you never had a whole lot of money and prestige. So if you come into the game trying to get a whole lot of money and prestige, thinking that that is the indicator for success, well, then you're going to be sorely disappointed when you're standing on the top of Plastic Mountain crying real tears.
Yo, run that back. Run that back.
If you come into the game trying to get a whole lot of money and prestige, thinking that that is the indicator for success, well, then you're going to be sorely disappointed when you're standing on the top of Plastic Mountain crying real tears.
Well, wait a minute. I disagree with that. The perfect parable for this is be like me and like Kevin Hart or Richard and Bill Cosby. Kevin, you know, I'm very impressed with him as a comedian. You know, I don't believe he gets the credit that he deserves for his proficiency as a stand-up. He's, like, actually incredibly good at it. But Kevin, from early on, had a very specific notion about who and what he wanted to be, and it was big. You know, he plays stadiums. Everything in his mind is big. It's a choice.
Anybody who's great could be great wherever that they are.
That's fair.
And even if you bomb, it's like, well, deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't account for your taste levels because you can't hear this. You don't get these references. Well, it's not my fault. Get out more. I mean, you know, educate yourself. Explore.
Oh, let's go.
You know.
I'm Dave Chappelle and I approve that message.
I didn't do that to you. I did the homework. So should you. Please. I can't hold your hand through all of this. Yo, scale is not the measure. And being big is an excuse for saying, I like shiny things.
But in Kevin's case, him being big was a skilled shot. So it was a hole in one. I want this. And he said exactly what he had to say, the way he had to say it, to be exactly what he wants to be.
To piggyback on that story, Funk Flex opened for me for free. And I said, like, why are you opening for me for free? He was like, I got to apologize to you. Because when Black Star was out, Reflection Eternal was out, I didn't play your records. And I didn't play your records because I thought they were underground.
No.
And I was trying to be
mainstream. No, let's be honest. They didn't play our records because we are not and have never been a soundtrack for consumerism. One, two, three. Moms have been telling what it is. We came to rock it all to the tip top. Best alliance in hip-hop. The records that get played in the system, the entertainment that you see, for the larger part, promotes and is a backdrop for empty consumerist activity. Period. If there's no group of products or lifestyle activities that can be attached to your particular art or your expression, then they're like, well, what are you supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
This is not pushing the production arrow forward. We can't sell anything against this. And who gives a damn about what's on your mind or the way that you see the world? You better attach it to a product, a good, a service, a lifestyle, a look. And then we can digest it. And this is why I've always resisted it, because there's no group of people in this world who are under more constriction or scrutiny in relation to their identity on every level, their personal identity, their social identity, any shadow of identity that you can imagine, than Black people, specifically Black men. Nobody cares how you feel. They care about what you can produce, the results that you produce, even if your ideas are valid and they open up windows of perception. You have your own needs. You have the truth that you need to express. That was the biggest gripe with Black Star. It's still to this day. It's like, damn, this is a great duo. It's got a funky beat I can rock to it, but I can't sell Jello to this. So I don't know what to do with it.
That's a tough one, though. Because that first Black Star album, I think, did culturally. I think it moved the needle. When I met you, I don't know if you remember this. This is one of the first nights we ever hung out, and a valet had brought my car to me, and the radio was still on, and it was playing your album. And you start cracking up laughing. He was like, nice. Yeah, I couldn't have planned that. But before I even knew y'all, that album did something.
You know, everywhere I go, for as long as I've been an adult, or even before that, it's always like, you can't do this, you can't see this, da 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 da. It's kind of dangerous to be an MC. This shot too usuals. So the whole thing about being a rock and roll star to me was about, well, you know, you don't write the rules anymore. Right?
Right.
I write the rules. I write the story. I'm the star of the story. I cast the story with stars that you wouldn't consider stars. You know, my metric for who's a star, who's important to talk about is totally different from yours. And I'm already inured to your rejection and misunderstanding of me, so you can't break me with that. So I'm free of seeking any approval from you. And I might not even be that free in my personal life sometimes, but it was a place that I was practicing on how to accept myself. And if I could apply that principle to my living, then I'd live a much more fruitful, joyful life. But why would I invite your Model T Ford assembly line, narrow mind approach to this conversation that God had with me when you weren't even around? In exchange for what?
Money, nigga.
Listen, let me tell you something. It's a foregone conclusion. I like money.
He likes money.
It's delicious. It goes with everything I want to do, okay? I'm not afraid of money. I'm not ashamed to have money. I'm just not going to do anything for it. I'm not going to betray myself for your money. Because when the money is gone, which it inevitably always is, right? At some point, you can't die with it. You can't. Everything that you have will go. What you do have that you live with is your own feeling about yourself. And it's, I mean, everything is not for sale. Everybody pays a price.
Yikes.
I agree with that. That's why I quit Chappelle's show. If I finished the show under the circumstances at that time, I don't think I would have ever been the same. Something inside of me that I needed, I would have had to let go of for that, and I couldn't let go of it to keep going.
And thank God that you did, because now it's a parable. It's not only a parable, it's a modus operandi. Now someone else that you may never meet, that you will never know was ever even living, will have that as an example when they're in a moment of doubt or uncertainty or unfair scrutiny or pressure. And they'll take that example and they can use it as energy to stick to their guns and fight another day for something that they truly believe in. So those types of things are really important. Nobody's building monuments to the sellouts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.